Bibles this morning, would you, and turn to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 6, Nehemiah chapter 6, and we want you to follow along this morning. Trust you brought a copy of the Word of God, Nehemiah chapter 6, and this is in the Old Testament scriptures, right after, if you would, Ezra, Chronicles. Now Nehemiah chapter 6, we come now to verse number 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. So four times he said, I am doing a great work. Verse 5. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein it was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Geshem saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. They all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Keep your place there. I want to share with you the new theme for the year from this passage of Scripture, doing a great work. Father, I thank you now for this passage of Scripture. As Nehemiah saw the work that he was involved in as a great work, thus the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, established by you, is a great work. I would trust that starting today, that in our thinking throughout the year, we would magnify that kind of thinking in our own thoughts, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was not established by man, but it was established by you. And therefore, because it comes from you, it is a great work. So give us what we need, in Jesus' name, amen.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. So great a mercy, what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven, the King of Kings calls me his. Christ, my living hope. Alleluia, praise the one who set me free. Alleluia, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God, you are my living hope.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Cody. Thank the Lord this morning that Jesus Christ is our living hope. And through him, the chains can be broken, and praise the Lord for that. It was a desperate time in Jerusalem. The walls of their city had been broken down, and the gates had been burned down. This happened because God's people had sinned against God and would not take heed to God's prophets, and they cast the word of God behind their backs. God several times was trying to get the attention of his people, but they would not take heed. So God said in his word, there is no other remedy. So God allowed an enemy to come in, and the enemy that would lead the way would be Nebuchadnezzar, who would ransack the city and take God's people into captivity. There was a remnant that had escaped and were in great affliction. God had raised up Nehemiah to rebuild the walls and the gates of Jerusalem to lead them back to God. In the process of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, Nehemiah then encountered the enemy. The enemy was relentless. They badgered Nehemiah and his workers. The enemy wanted to have a meeting together with Nehemiah, but he rejected that meeting and said, as you see in the account that we read from Nehemiah 6, he said, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. He not only said that once, but he said it four times, because the Bible says that these the enemy came four times to him and said, we want to have a meeting. And four times he said, no, I am doing a great work. And church, from his statement, I introduce to you the theme for this year, as you see it here on the screen, but more importantly, in the Word of God, that we are doing a great work. We are doing a great work. And throughout this year, as we are involved in the work of the Lord through various ministries in this church, I want you to understand that as you serve, you are doing a great work. If you teach a Sunday school class, you are doing a great work. If you work in the nursery, you are doing a great work. If you are one of our janitors here in the church to help keep our buildings clean, you are doing a great work. If you are one of the men in our church that mows the lawns and the fields and helps keep the sidewalks clear of the snow, you are doing a great work. If you are any way involved in teaching the Word of God, you are doing a great work. If you are working in our sound system, you are doing a great work. You keep the sermons out there on Facebook and on YouTube and out on, it's coming to me, our church website. If you have it on those three mediums that we have so that people can hear the Word of God, that is a great work. So I want you throughout this year to understand that whatever you do here in ministry at Calvary Baptist Church, it is a great work. Nehemiah looked at this wall building project as a great work. Which then begs the question, why did he then look at it as a great work? Well, let me give you some thoughts here this morning. We realize, first of all, that I think he understood it was a great work because it was established by God. Go with me, if you would, to chapter 2 of Nehemiah. Chapter 2 of Nehemiah, and look at verse number 12, where he says, "And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem." Please understand, this wasn't something that Nehemiah just dreamed up. It wasn't something he devised. He said that it was God that had put this into my heart to get involved in this wall building project, to lead God's people so that God could be glorified. So in that, he is saying that this work was established by God. Go with me, if you would, to chapter 1 of Nehemiah. In chapter 1, we are introduced to what Nehemiah thought of God. And we find in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 5, he says, "I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant," that is, he keeps his word, "and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments." Here, Nehemiah early on in this book relates to us that God was a very important part of his life. And he says here in verse number 5 that God is the God of heaven. He is a great and terrible God. He is one who keeps his word. He is a merciful God. We find that he is a God of forgiveness, because you'll find in this particular chapter, in chapter 1, that when he realizes the difficulty that has taken place, he says, and he goes before God, and he confesses his sin and the sins of the people, and he realizes that God is a God of forgiveness. I'm glad this morning that God forgives sin. How about you? I'm glad he not only forgives my sin, but he forgives me of all of my sin, past, present, future. He is a God of forgiveness. Sometimes people don't come to God because they feel they have lived such a wicked, horrible life that God could never forgive them. But God is a God of forgiveness. Nehemiah was convinced of this, so he prays to the God of heaven, and he seeks his forgiveness. We find in chapter 4 that he realizes that God is a God of vengeance. For he says here, O our God, for we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head. Who's he talking about there? He's saying, God, would you take care of these enemies, Sanballat and Tobiah? Would you deal with them? God, because I don't have one the time to do this, and you are the one who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And so he realized that God was a God of vengeance. He also realized that God is a God of protection. Go to chapter 4 again in verse number 9, where the Bible says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. God would protect them. They would get involved in this massive project. And God would protect them and bring them along. God is a God of protection, and then God is a God of strength. Before we find in chapter 6 and verse number 9, where he says, O God, strengthen my hands. Now here is the point I want you to understand. Why did Nehemiah realize that this was a great work? Because he was not, if you would, serving man. He was serving the God of heaven. He was serving the God of the universe. He was serving a God of forgiveness and vengeance and protection and strength and many other things. How he is described in the Word of God for us, Nehemiah knew God. One commentator wrote, no people has ever risen above its religion, and no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. Church, may I say that God is a great God. And because he is a great God, then what we are involved in here at Calvary Baptist Church is a great work. When we know God, it increases our faith. We wonder why we don't have faith. The answer, faith is confidence in the character of God. And if we don't know what kind of God God is, we can't have faith. And here, Nehemiah had great faith. He had faith in a great God. Abraham knew God and left his country by faith and believed God to provide. David knew God and stood in confidence before a giant and brought him down. Nehemiah knew God and led a massive building project. You see, church, the more we know God, the more our faith will be increased to move forward by faith and do a great work. And the reason we need to get to know God through his grace or through his word is so that we can see he is greater than the nice little box we try to put God in. You cannot contain God in a box. God is great. He's infinite. He's powerful. And this is the kind of God, church, that we serve. And Nehemiah had this in mind. And when the enemy came to him and said, hey, let's have a little summit together. Let's have a little conversation together. Nehemiah said, no way, no how. I'm doing a great work, and I am not coming down to meet with you. Not much will be accomplished there anyway. I'm doing a great work. And he realized that this was a great work, one, because it was established by God. Now, church, Calvary Baptist Church, and may I use the word, the body of Christ was established by God himself. There are only three institutions in the Word of God: the family, the government, and the church. All three were made up in the mind of God. God established them. Therefore, this church, if you would, was not a device of man. It was established by God. A local church, here we are together, it was established by him. That's important to understand, because when you serve here through this church, you realize that you are serving, not Pastor Canada, you are serving the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When you clean the buildings, ladies, you are doing it to magnify God. When you work in the nursery, ladies, you are doing it so that others can have an opportunity to hear the Word of God. When you teach the Sunday school class, you are doing a great work. You get the point. Why? Because This is established by God. But there's another reason why it's a great work. And I think Nehemiah understood this. And that was because there was a great need. We go back to chapter 1. And in chapter 1, he is told in the context about the plight of the people. And he says in verse number 3, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Oh, you see here, he was told the plight of the people. He was told of the plight of the walls and the gates being broken down and burned down. And as a result, he, in verse number 4, is moved with passion about this. But he saw the plight of the people. And I think when we realize that there is a great work, it is because not only has it been established by God, but there is a great need. All around us, right here, this very hour, as you are sitting here, there are many people up and down this road and down Nichols Road and every house in Gaines Township. Many of them today not attending church anywhere, having no thought of God, having no hope, who need hope. We do not look down on them. We want to help them. We want to reach them because we live in a township of spiritual darkness. You may not be from Gaines Township. You may live in another township, but the very same thing can be said of the people there in your township. They live in spiritual darkness. We live in a country that less than 20% of America goes to church anywhere today. Less than 20%. And the sad thing is many of those people that aren't attending church anywhere have no thought of God before their eyes. They don't want God in their life, that they have it to them comfortable. I was hoping and praying that this pandemic would bring people to the Lord, but it seems like in many ways it has driven people further away from God. But God today wants us to see that there is a great need because people are living in spiritual darkness. The walls are broken down. Some are blinded by their religion. Some are blinded by materialism and see no need of God. Some have never heard of the gospel for the very first time. Oh, that's hard to imagine. The United States of America, for many years, we have been one of the greatest countries of getting the gospel out. And yet, right here in the United States of America, right here in Gaines Township, right over in Durand, right over in Byron, wherever you hail from, may I say, there are people who've never heard of the gospel for the very first time. And oh, that should reveal to us the need is great. And for Nehemiah, he saw the need was great. What did he do in response to it? Well, to begin with, in verse number 4, it says, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and I wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." You see, first of all, before Nehemiah could move forward, it had to touch his own heart. We won't take the time to read the rest of chapter 1, but you will see when he confesses sin, he includes himself. He doesn't say, it was just these people out here that I have to confess their sin. He said, no, we have sinned against you. Nehemiah, in the context, was displaying by his very actions. He's weeping. He's mourning certain days. He's fasting. He's praying before the God of heaven. For Nehemiah, this was a deep, deep burden in his life. When he heard what had happened and how that their people were in great affliction, there was this compassion of Nehemiah just swelling up in his own heart. Someone has got to care. Someone has to care. We live in a society which, that seems to be, it's real easy for me to say it, But it seems to be less and less of people expressing care. It seems, does it just seem like people have gotten harder toward each other? Meaner toward each other? Well, we used to be able to strike up a conversation with a stranger and have a pretty pleasant conversation, but now it seems like politics divides us or health issues divide us and all of these kinds of things, and it seems like to be a barrier that at times will get in the way of us really expressing the compassion and the care. But I tell you, church, we've got to get beyond that and say, I care for your soul. Because even the psalmist says, no man cares for my soul. Oh, may it not be said of people in Gaines Township that nobody cares for their soul. May it be said truly from Calvary Baptist Church that there is a church that people care for my soul. Someone has got to care. And this year, as we think about the great need and the great work, I want to ask you, who will be your one individual that you will try to reach with the gospel of Christ this year? And let me ask you, have you ever tried? Have you ever tried to share the gospel with someone? Maybe this year you make the decision, with God helping you, that you will stretch yourself out and say, by God's grace, I'm going to try and to share the gospel with one individual. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to give them the gospel. I'm going to express care for them. Who's your one? Who will be your one this year that you will bring to Christ? Oh, you see, there is a great need. Because there's a great need, this is what makes it a great work. It's a great work because it's established by God. It's a great work because there is a great need. But it's a great work because there is great reward. Go to chapter 6. Chapter 6 of Nehemiah, and look at verse 15. Verse number 15, the Bible says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elu in 52 days. So 52 days, the wall was completed. You say, well, that must have been easy. Well, think about the time then. Remember back in the book of Exodus when the children of Israel were in bondage and how they had to make their brick and so forth? It was not easy. It was a great task to do that. So now here we have Nehemiah having all of his people together. They, if you would, realize that this was a God-led vision and they were following God's man at that point. And they said, we were going to rise up when we're going to build. So they begin the building project. And in 52 days, the work was accomplished. For we find in verse number 16, it says, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that went about and saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. Now catch this. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Please understand, church, why do we do what we do? For someone to say amen at a point in a sermon, or to someone to say amen when we have just sung, why do we do what we do? If it is not for the glory of God, then it is for the wrong motive. And here in this context of Scripture, he says, they perceived that this work was wrought of God. You know what I long for the people of Gaines Township to be able to know? That there is a God that is real in heaven, and I want to know him. That they know that there's something taking place here at Calvary Baptist Church that is so awesome, so great, that they're longing for it, they're thirsting for it. They want it deep, deep down in their soul, because down in their soul, they don't have the joy that we have. They don't have the peace that we have. Oh, remember how that Rahab said to those spies when they came in, she says, we have heard what your God has done. Oh, that people here in our communities would hear of what God has done and what God is doing. We find in this context of Scripture, in verse 15 and 16, that there was a great reward. Sometimes in the work we get weary, but there is great reward. Go to chapter 4. Chapter 4 and look at verse number 10. Chapter 4 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." What's he saying? He's saying to Nehemiah, "Hey, I want you to know, we've been at this. We've been working hard. The enemy's been coming at us and telling us and saying, you're not going to be able to do this," and so forth. And they're tired. Their strength is depleted. It's easy for the children of God sometimes to get weary in the work and wonder, do I stay at it? Do I keep doing it? But church, remember this. The Bible says in Galatians, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not." Nehemiah, a wise leader, he says, "All right, I hear what you're saying. And yes, these people have been at it. They've been staying steady. They've been doing this, and every day," he says, "here's what I want you to do. I want some of you to take the trowel in one hand, and the others, I want you to take a sword in the other. And here's what we're going to do for the rest of this project. We're going to build, we're going to battle. We're going to build, and we're going to battle." And they saw the job done. Nehemiah helped them to get refocused, if you would, and helped them to stay on that wall and to keep doing the work of God. Sometimes we lose focus in the work of the ministry, but we must stay focused on glorifying God. And there is a great work, and there is a great reward in seeing lives changed. Changed by the gospel. This year, it is my prayer that we will see more people saved than we've ever seen in the history of Calvary Baptist Church. In just a few weeks, we're going to be having a soul-winning seminar for 3 hours on January 29th from 9 to noon to help you, to equip you, to learn how to tell people of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because one of the reasons why people don't witness is because they simply do not know how. They have the burden. They care. They don't want people to die and go to hell, but they don't know where to start. So we want to come alongside you and equip you in that. And Evangelist Brian Treadway will be here, no cost to you, but we want you to be here on that day. Sign up before you leave today. Say, "I will be part of that." You say, "I already know how to win souls." Well, I liken it to this. Soul winning is a lot like fishing. I don't always use the same bait when I go fishing. Even when I do go fishing, I may start off with this lure, realize it's kind of dead in the water, so I'll use another kind of lure, and the fish begin to hit. Well, likewise, the gospel of Jesus Christ does not change, but how we minister to people, how we give the gospel to people, can at times be different. And I'm looking for ways myself to be an effective witness for the Lord. So if you, quote, know how to do it, but you may equip yourself to become even more effective to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is great reward in seeing lives changed by the gospel, changed by the Word of God. I want to remind you right here at this point in the message, a reminder of what our core values are here at Calvary Baptist Church. Our core values that we will bring people into a saving and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Here they are. Who love God, grow in grace, and reach others. That's our core values. To bring people into a saving and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Who love God, who then in turn grow in grace, who then in turn reach others so they can go through that same process of reaching others to bring them to a point where they love God and grow in grace and reach others. That's what we're all about. There is a great work. This, here on January 9th, 2022, this here at Calvary Baptist Church, is a great work. not because you and I have dreamed up something big. God, if you would, already came up with something big. The church. And he's given us this church. He's given us each other. He is a great God. And because he's a great God, this is a great work. It's a great work. And so, because it is, would you agree that God is worthy of our service? Would you agree that there is a great need? And would you agree that there is a great reward? You know, sometimes in the Christian life, you get to see the reward, the fruit of your labor. There are other times you don't. As I look over the congregation this morning, I see people that God has privileged me to be involved in your life. Some at the point of salvation, others to help you go on and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And I concur with what John wrote in his epistles. There is no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's a great reward. But sometimes in this life, we don't always get to see the reward. But that doesn't put aside the fact that there is a great reward. And one day, we may see some people in heaven that God worked through us to bring to Christ, and we never knew it. Never knew it. Somebody that we touched, we thought, I don't know if I'll ever see them again. But maybe one day when you get to heaven, you'll be able to see an individual there that God worked through you to bring to him for the glory of God. Nehemiah realized this is a great work. Did they get weary? Sure they did. Did they want to give up? Sure they did. Did they ever feel like they were in the minority? Oh, yes, they did. Sort of sounds like today, doesn't it? The enemy seems to be so relentless. They seem to be advancing. It seems like they have this big freight train going down the tracks, and no one can seem to stop them. But yet God always has a remnant. God always has a remnant who will stay true to him and who will live for him. And I'm convinced with all of my heart that we this year, if we'll join our hearts and hands together and realize that this is a great work, that God will use us in a great and mighty way for his honor and for his glory. Would you bow your heads, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nehemiah said, we're doing a great work. Church, you're doing a great work. You are part of a great work. And I really want you to believe that down deep in your heart. Again, not because of great dreams and visions, so to speak, and vision planning, and all of that is necessary. But this is a great work because God established it. He established it. And that alone makes it great. That means he wants his work to go forward. In light of that, I think about when God's people here in this context that we read this morning got weary. Even Nehemiah did. He cried out, God, strengthen my hands. I wonder this morning, there would be those who would join with me and ask God to strengthen our hearts and our hands for this good work. If that's you, I'm not going to have you come forward. But if that's you, would you just stand to your feet right where you are? Say, yes, I'll be one this year who will join hands with my church family and my heart, and we'll do a great work. Just stand to your feet. Just stand right where you're at. I'm not going to have you come forward. Just stand right where you're at. Amen. Father, you see us standing. As we are, I would ask that you would help us this year, that you would strengthen our hands, because this is a great work. Without you, we can do nothing. Not one thing can we do apart from you. But with you, we can see a great work. And so we're asking that this year you would show yourself strong in our midst, that we would see many souls saved and baptized and growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord, that this year we would see personal growth taking place in our own individual lives, that this year you would increase workers within this church. Oh, Father, I thank you for what you're going to do, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Well, I trust if there's yet a decision in your heart and life you need to make, I can help you anyway. Please feel free to stop me if you would. Let me share with you just a few announcements. I'm going to have Pastor Cody come and tell you about teen snacks for the year. Again, remember your giving envelopes. Get those if you would. Then sign up for the soul winning seminar. You heard me emphasize that in the message this morning. Again, totally free to you, but that'll be from 9 until 12 on January 29th. But please sign up on the table as you leave this morning. And then also, next Sunday, Brother Glenn will begin a new series, a study in the book of Philippians, the book of joy. And I trust that you will be here at 9:30 on Sunday morning, and we'll look forward to a good time of fellowship there as we have that opportunity to learn. And then this past Wednesday, I started a new series of messages on the subject of prayer called Pray Big. Pray Big. And this year, I trust that you will pray big. And this will be a help and a blessing to you from the book of Ephesians. So I trust that you'll be here. Pastor Cody, you come.
We do have a teen snack tonight here at the church. Going to be having meatball subs. So teenagers, keep that in mind. It'll be after the evening service tonight. Something I did want to announce in regards to snacks, we have these every month, and we are in need of families who are willing to host our teenagers. You say, I don't have a teenager. That is okay. We want to get to know you. We want you to be able to get to know our teenagers. Even if you don't have a teenager in our youth group, this is a great opportunity for you, once again, to be able to serve, to be able to do that great work and be able to be a blessing to our teenagers. And who knows, maybe our teenagers would be a blessing to you as well. We just would love to be able to have that opportunity to be able to get to know you better and for you to get to know our teens. So if you are willing to open up your home for our teenagers on any Sunday in the next coming months, please let me know so that we can put you on the schedule for that. Thank you. I turned my microphone off and had to turn it back on. And okay, let's go ahead and dismiss in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for who you are and what you mean to us. Lord, we pray that you would allow us to really take this matter of doing the great work personally. Lord, without each and every person here in this church doing their part of the work, it's not going to get accomplished. Lord, it's going to take every single one of us willing to put in our time, willing to put in our effort to be able to accomplish these goals that you have for us this year. So Lord, I pray that you would be with us, help us to have the strength and the endurance to continue to press on and to continue to make these differences that we can in our community. We love you so much. Pray that you would give us safety as we travel home and be with our services tonight as well. Bring us back for a good time of fellowship and Bible preaching. These things we ask in your precious and holy name. Amen.